Hey, we're going to have just some family time together today. I'm going to talk about a few things. We're starting a new series today called Treasure Principle, and it's going to run us through pretty much the entire month of November. And let me get rid of these real quick. I forgot to announce this earlier. We have two free tickets to a cooking Metropolitan Cooking Convention. So if you would like to go today after service, we have two tickets that gives you free entry into the event. So thank you for those. If you want these, they'll be back at the Get Plugged In table. Thank you for providing those. Thanks. All right, so back on track. Here we go. Today, we're starting a new series. It's going to take us through basically the month of November. And I really want to let you guys know that we're heading up to a very special season. A lot of you came to Hope Hill about a year ago during the holidays. We moved into this school last September with about 80 of you. And from September to November, actually the last Sunday in November, we broke 200. And that was just overwhelming. It was exciting. We were expecting, with it being a holiday weekend, that several people would be gone and away. And instead, we like blew through the roof. And so it was amazing. And so what we're doing again to kind of kick off this special time of year that many people are familiar with is called Advent. We're going to have an Advent kickoff service that is November 27th. And we really want to encourage you to invite your friends to be a part of what God's doing here at Hope Hill always. But use these special events as a great way of saying, hey, we know you don't usually go to church, but hey, we're doing a special event. Why don't you come check things out? So that's November 27th. It's going to be a great family-focused event. We're all going to stay together for as family that day and just get ready to celebrate the coming of our King through the Advent season. So it's going to be a wonderful service, a lot of special things happening in the back of the room. We'll have stations where we can create ornaments together, arts and crafts, taking communion together as families. And it's just going to be great. So stay tuned for that. Hope Hill has been an amazing thing to be a part of. How many of you have joined us just in the last school year? Raise your hands. Okay, that's a good number of you. Hope Hill has been amazing for me in that I have had the privilege to be able to see God work in mysterious ways. And what we want to do today and over the next couple weeks is just be real with you about what we think God is leading us to do and what it's going to take for us to do it. Let me start by saying this is God's church. Many of you have been here early enough or on time to see the video that we play at the beginning where it talks about what kind of church we are and how this isn't our church, this is God's church. And that's the first and most important thing, is that this is not something that John Cousins dreamed up. This is not something that a group of people as a part of some denomination thought of. God has been about building his church from the time that Jesus Christ left and even before that. Months ago, I taught on Abram before he was named Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. And Abram was this blessed man. He had almost everything but a family. He had lots of land, prosperity. He had lots of followers. And God said, leave it all and go to a place that I'm going to show you. God didn't tell him where he was going to take him. God didn't say how he was going to get there. He just said, go. And Abraham went. And the Bible tells us that God said, the reason I'm sending you is so that the world will be blessed because of you. Not just his own people, not just his own family, not just his own nation, but the entire world. And that has been God's purpose since the beginning of time, that the world would be blessed, that the world would come to see who God is and glorify him and come to realize how much he loves us as his creation. And so from the beginning of time, we have been put on this earth to come to know God, to love him, to honor him, to bring glory to him, and in turn be a light that shows that love and the glory of God to other people. And it was amazing. Last week, how many of you were able to participate with us at the Fall Fest? I know some of you showed up here for church and were like, whoa, what's going on? Have they already closed their doors? Some church plants do fail, but Thankfully, that was not the case with us. What will happen on occasion for us is we believe in putting the Word of God into practice, and so often we will close the doors here and we will go wherever God wants us to be to do His work, to be His hands and His feet in this area. And months ago, you know, we had that hurricane that came through after the weird earthquake, and then many of you were wondering if next was going to be frogs and water turning to blood and all those weird plagues, right? We had a hurricane that came through and literally left almost 100 families displaced. Several homes in one particular community were destroyed. And they were mobile homes. And some of these mobile homes didn't just have one family living in them, but multiple families living in them. And many of them were placed at Dale City Rec Center, later moved over to First Mount Zion. And several of these families are still looking for homes, still trying to replace everything that they lost in those floods. And so what was amazing is over the last couple months, the way the community and the way the body of Christ has responded to meet those needs, not just talk about how we're supposed to love our neighbor and love God and treat each other nice, but we put that into action. And so last week, well over 400 people showed up to be blessed. And they walked into a school gym, I think identical to this size, that was just filled with tables. I wish we had pictures drawn up fast enough for you to see, but imagine all the lunch tables that are usually in these cafeterias just filled, stacked high with coats and clothing and shoes and books and educational things and toys and electronics. And these families came and they were able to get all this stuff free of charge because of the generosity of many of you and many who live in our community. Hope Hill, we are about that. We are about doing everything we can to glorify God through impacting our world and seeing lives transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is what we want our heart to be about. We don't want to be about a church that's about building, you know, getting a big piece of property and building a huge building that, like, is beautiful. That would be nice one day. But to be honest, as long as I have the privilege and opportunity to be the pastor of this church, the only way I'm going to want a building is if we can use it. I don't want a building that's going to sit empty from Sunday to Sunday and not be used. I see a counseling center, a center where people can come and get their grocery needs met, where people can come for healing and hope, struggling with emotional and physical needs, possibly even a shelter. We have so many homeless in our area that don't have a place, especially during the winter. And so my dream is that God would let us be His hands and feet, not just be a gathering place for Christians to pull away from the world and huddle together and sing kumbaya, you know? We are here to make a difference in this world, and as long as I get to be a part of Hope Hill, that's where I feel like God is leading us. And so today, I want to take you through some passages of Scripture that kind of point out what I think is at the essence, the center of what God is calling us to. And each and every one of you that are in this room, whether you are right now a believer of Jesus Christ or not, each of you was put on this earth for a purpose. Each and every one of us were created in the image of God, and God wants to use you to work out His purpose in this world. And so the first step, of course, would be for you to become a believer, for you to become a child of God and accept the love and forgiveness that He offers freely to any of us. And then don't just sit there. Get in the game. Yesterday, I got to go watch Colton Talley. Are any of the Talleys in here? They're probably all in children's ministry. Colton Talley is about this tall. He's like as skinny as a toothpick. And I got to see him run two 60-yard touchdown runs as a running back. And he also ran back the opening kickoff. He's like Banks for the Redskins, right? He's amazing. And I so wanted to get on the field and just play, but for some reason they wouldn't let that happen, okay? In church, a lot of people are on the sidelines often, not in the game. And in this church, we want you in the game. We want you getting out of your seats. We're not calling you to be spectators. We want you to be participants in what God has as a plan in this area. And we count it a privilege to be able to partner with the body of Christ in this area and to be about doing His work. So let's dive in. If you would, go ahead and turn to the book of Matthew with me. Why are we doing this? Why are we here? Well, just real quick, and I promise you, I want to tell you what I'm about to tell you in the next 15 minutes. I want to be done. Okay? Now, that has not been standard for me. I know that. So I'm going to try to fly and throw stuff at you very quickly, and whatever I don't cover this week, we'll just continue next week. But I want you engaged, okay? Because I really believe that God has us here to hear from Him and to, more importantly, hear what He wants us doing for Him. All right? So, why are we doing this? About the age of 6, my wife would be throwing something at me if she was in here. Is she in here? She hates it when I go all the way back to the beginning, okay? Real quick, at the age of 6, I remember standing at a window looking outside, and it was snowing. We were living in Colorado, and a beautiful state, God's country, Denver Broncos, John Elway, amen. So anyway, so I'm in Colorado, and at the age of 6, I come to, I don't know, just nobody had to tell me. I just knew there was a God, and I knew somehow He loved me, and I wanted to serve Him. And so, I mean, I don't know how to explain that as a 6-year-old, but as I went through life, God put me in circumstances where I wanted to inspire others to be used by Him. And when I met Brandy in college, we'd started dreaming together how God could use us to be a part of a church that would really make a difference, that wouldn't gather together just for an hour a week on a Sunday and sing songs and listen to some scripture, but would really be a part of a people movement, the body of Christ moving on this earth. Why? Why? Well, it really is summed up in these verses I'm going to read to you right now. Let's start in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Matthew 13, verse 44 says this: "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and he covered up. Then in his joy," did you catch that? "In his joy, he goes and sells all that he has so that he can buy that field." What are we talking about here? We're talking about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is worth more than anything you can imagine. And this man finds this treasure. And this is God's way of saying, He's not saying this. He's not saying in order to get the kingdom of heaven, you have to sell everything. That would be works-based salvation. That's not what's being said here. What's being said here is that this man came to realize that God and His way and His will and the kingdom of heaven is worth more than anything in life. And so this man quickly goes and sells everything so that he can buy that field. Now, back then, I guess, if you bought the field, anything in it was yours. Okay, I don't know the history behind all of that, but this man wanted that treasure so bad that he gave up everything. Keep going. Verse 45. Again, Jesus goes on to demonstrate or to tell us that the kingdom of heaven is also like this. It's like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. So, why is Hope Hill here? Hope Hill here is because a group of people decided that the kingdom of heaven was worth more than anything else. 2 years ago, I was at First Baptist Church. I was working in a good situation. I was a pastor of students. There was a lot of people on my team helping volunteer, helping lead students and to find Christ. And I was comfortable. Things were going great. But God said, "It's time to get out of the boat, John." And very much like the story of Peter in the storm, Peter had to take a step of faith before he could learn that with Jesus, even he could walk on water. And I went to Brandy, and I said, "Brandy, you know, we've been talking for years about being a part of a church that would do something, possibly planning a church." And she said, "Why did it take you so long? Let's go." And so we jumped out of that boat and we took a step of faith, not knowing that there was going to be ahead of us the journey that was there, but we knew God was calling us. I knew a couple of you. I went to lunch with Andrew. Andrew was ready to buy a big yellow bus and travel around the world and minister on his guitar and be a modern day hippie. And I was like, no, you got to come with us and lead our worship. Others of you that were at First Baptist with us, you were comfortable in your positions. And I said, I know God's calling me and God's put you on my heart. Will you consider being a part of this team? And on April 18th, it was announced at First Baptist Church that we were leaving to start this journey. And thankfully, here's some awesome stuff that happened. We took a step of faith, and right away, First Baptist said, we're not going to let you step out alone. We're going to give you half your year's salary, so you don't have to worry about that. That was huge. That was amazing. And then the state of Virginia said, we want to get behind this new church plant. They gave us $30,000, which was huge. And then the school that I graduated from, Liberty University, they gave us $24,000, and it just, God was just saying, thank you for following me. Thank you for take a step of faith. I'm here for you. And so last year, we were able to rent the school. That was amazing in and of itself. The principal here 2 years ago was like, we won't have a school church here. We're not going to cross that line. A month later, she resigns. It was crazy, okay? The new principal comes in. I meet with them. I'm ready to like do anything I can to get in the school. 5 minutes in, he was like, you need a place to meet? Sure, let's go. And we've been in here ever since. God has just been demonstrating that he's ready to get behind what's happening here. And it's not my vision, it's his work, it's his vision. And we simply are sitting here saying, we're gonna risk everything. Brandy and I were like, we just bought this house, which was a blessing in and of itself. I mean, we bought an amazing house and an amazing community for far less than the homes are supposed to sell for here. God just has made each and every step work. So why? Because we want to see people come to know the same Jesus that we have seen in our lives. We want people to know that it doesn't matter what it takes. We want them to come to know who he is. And so we have taken steps of faith, and we have asked you to join us to take steps of faith, to get out and to meet real needs, to go out and to pass out pumpkin pies door to door and tell families that we want to bless you as a church. We don't want to just hide away in some building somewhere. Is there some other way that we can help you? Last year, we adopted close to 20 families and provided Thanksgiving meals for them. We then adopted those families again, and we gave them Christmas presents for their children and gave them Christmas meals. And we want to continue to see this kind of stuff just multiply. My hope, and this was a vision Brandy and I had. Last year, we went on a date, and we were like, we're just going to stop talking about church one night and just go to a movie or something. And on our way to the movie, we were like, what are we doing? Let's drive back down and pray through those communities. So we turned the car around, and we headed down Route 1. We prayed through Grand Park, just driving the streets. We pulled up to this trailer park community called Grayson Village, and we drove through there. And God laid on our heart that we're going to own one of those trailers one day. And for what? To do ministry out of. Our hope is that we will be able to take homes and call them hope houses, and in the middle of communities, fill them with, you know, coats and clothing and tutoring centers where kids in that community can come and get help with homework after school, tutoring so that they can learn how to read, so they can learn English as a second language, and so that we can be the hands and feet of Jesus, as the church is supposed to be in this area. There are so many people of doing well. You know, this is a weird area. We have tons of people who are upper middle class, and then we have tons of people who are struggling, who are having to live three or four families in a home just to make ends meet. And God has put us here to be his hands and feet in this area. And it's worth it. The kingdom of heaven is a treasure, and God is calling us to be on board, to join him, and to walk away from everything. Turn to Luke with me real quick. Luke chapter 5. Now, this is one of my favorite stories in the Bible, and because of time, I'm going to kind of give you the paraphrase version of it. Luke chapter 5, Jesus is about 30 years old. The first 30 years of his life, he was a son of a carpenter. He learned that trade. He was out building stuff, and all of a sudden, there comes a time when Jesus knows it's his time to start his ministry years. And Jesus lived his last 3 years of his life sharing news about the kingdom of God. And so on one of his very first encounters, as this new son of God, he's out by the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee was a very popular place. People went there to buy and trade. People were there fishing all the time. It's where, you know, the center of life was in that area. And so Jesus gets there, and he starts teaching. And he steps into one of the boats that's there, and this boat happens to be empty because the fishermen who were using it the night before had caught nothing. And Jesus steps out in the boat, and he's sitting there, and he teaches about the kingdom of heaven. And then he comes back in and he notices the fishermen that are standing there or actually washing their nets in the shore. And he says to them, go back out and cast out your nets for a catch. And they look at him, and I'm sure, you know, the area wasn't that big. They probably knew that this guy was a little different, a carpenter. Why is a carpenter guy telling me how to fish? Doesn't he know I've been out there all night? And the Bible says they were out there all night, and they had caught nothing. And so Peter, often in the Bible, is very famous for putting his foot in his mouth, and he turns to him and he says, we've been out there all night and hadn't caught a thing. But something in his spirit is checked, and he says, but because you tell us to, we'll go ahead and do it. And for years, many of us, we've been going through the motions, we've been doing church all our life, and life just isn't what we thought it would be. We've been going through the motions, and many times we end up feeling empty ourselves. You ever felt empty? You ever felt like you put all this effort in, and what do I have to show for it? God, why aren't you coming through for me? And many times we just want to give up. We want to clean our nets, pack up, and go home. But God is ready. If we are ready to just accept his call and go back out, and not just stay on the shore in our little buildings, but go out into the deep parts where the fish are, we'll see amazing things happen. And so Peter gets back in the boat. He calls his friends along with him, and I'm sure they're like, what are we doing? We've been out all night. Oh, just shut up and get in the boat. And they go out into where it's deep, and Jesus says, cast your net on the other side where it's deep. And if you know the story, as soon as they did, the net started to become so full that it literally began to tear apart and break. And as they were pulling in this catch, they realized there was way too much. They couldn't even handle it on their own. So they call their partners in other boats and say, come on over. And all these other boats started coming over, and their boats began to become so full that they began to sink. And Peter turns around, and he's realized, what is going on here? And he falls to his knees and he says, depart from me. I'm sinful. I'm not worthy enough to even be in your presence. And Jesus says, don't worry about that. You've caught fish. From now on, you'll be catching men. And what does it say happen? They leave everything there and they go to follow him. Are you at a place in life, and I know the answer to this question for some of you, are you in a place in life where you're ready to see God do a mighty work? The next question is, are you at a place in your life where you're ready to walk away from everything in order to see that happen? Walking the life of a disciple is not easy. Luke 9:23, Jesus says, whoever would come to follow me must deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. Now, back then, the cross was very well known. The cross was the most common form of execution used by the Romans. When Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me, the people who heard that knew exactly what they meant. They knew that following him may literally cost them their life. And in some countries still today, deciding to follow Jesus means losing your family, losing your property, losing your home, and for many, losing their lives. In America, it's almost become easy to say, I'm a follower of Jesus. Yeah, I believe. I'll go to church every once in a while. I'm a Christian. In God we trust, right? Pledge of Allegiance, and that's about it for many of us. But God is calling you to be a part of something bigger. God has put Hope Hill Church here to make a difference in this area, and you are Hope Hill Church. You are the part of the body of Christ that God wants to use, and he simply is looking for people who are willing to give up whatever it takes to follow him, to be used by him, to make an impact in this world, and to see lives transformed by the loving gospel of Jesus Christ. So my hope is that you will think about this over the next few weeks. What am I willing to give to help see this area reached by the kingdom of God? What am I willing to do to let myself be used to be the hands and feet of Jesus in this area, to my neighbors, to my coworkers, in my school, wherever it is he leads you? There are a couple pieces of paper on your chairs. I want you to take them and pray through them. And if you feel led to, I want you to consider coming back over the next couple weeks and saying, this is how I feel God is wanting to use me as a part of Hope Hill Church. We are technically still a church plant. We are supported heavily by outside organizations. And in order for us to truly be able to stand on our own and become a regular church, for lack of a better phrase, we have to be able to stand on our own. Right now, it's like we're on a bike and Dad is holding the seat as we learn to pedal. But soon Dad is going to let go. Last year, to do what God led us to do cost this group of people about $250,000. A lot of you weren't even aware of that. The rent of the school space, the salaries that we pay, about 7 staff, 2 full-time, me and Pastor TJ, and 5 part-time staff. And then just the outreach that we're doing on a monthly basis. We're literally spending thousands of dollars a month making a difference in this community. Over half of that $250,000 came from outside of us this past year. The other half came from your gifts and contributions. In order to one day be able to stand on our own, we in a sense have to be able to stand on our own. And so we want to ask that you would pray and say, God, are you calling me to really be a part of this church? And if so, we want you to consider what that means. We've drawn up what we call a phase 2 covenant. And what phase 2 means is basically there are 4 phases to us becoming self-standing. Phase 1 was us building a team to launch this church and move into the school. Phase 2 started on February 13th when we launched officially as a church. Phase 3 will kind of come at a time when God shows us is right, but it's really at a time where we kind of have our own policies and procedures, our own financial standing, and we're ready to be able to say, yeah, we've got this. Thank you, Mom and Dad, for your help. We're ready to stand on our own. And in phase 4, we say, okay, Hope Hill Church is now standing on our own, and we're ready to give birth to a new church, possibly. And so we want to know if you're on board with that. And so we want to ask you would take this covenant home and read through it, pray through it, and say, God, is the treasure you're showing me something I'm willing to be all in for? And we want you to take that and to read through it. As a part of that, we of course want you to know what we believe in. We have a statement of beliefs back there if you've never seen them. And if you're in alignment with what we believe as a church, you can read through those. You can say, yeah, I'm on board, and there's an affirmation of community. I want to close with these thoughts. God is the most amazing thing, and if you will simply put your trust and faith into him, he will show you how much he loves you, how much he wants to carry you, how much he wants to use you. And my hope is that you just be willing to take that step of faith and say, I'm ready. As we close our service today, I want you to think through the things we've shared. I want you to listen to God's Holy Spirit. And I want you to just pray as we worship God. How do you want to use me here at Hope Hill Church? how do you want to use me in this community? And allow God to begin to speak to you. Through our closing time of worship, we will also take time to remember the most important thing ever. And that is that Christ came not just to live a life of helping out those in need, but more importantly, he came to die for us. And the Bible says that in our sin, we're separated from God. But Jesus, through the shedding of his blood and his broken body, offers forgiveness to any of us who would receive it. And so today, as we come to a time of closing and saying, God, we are your church and we are grateful for what you've done for us. God, help us to remember the sacrifice that you gave in our place and empower us to go from this place ready to live for you. So during our time of worship, as you feel led, as you feel like you are ready to enter into the presence of God, I invite you to come forward and to take a piece of bread as a symbol of remembrance of what Christ did as he had his body broken for us. And take that piece of bread and dip it in this cup of juice as a symbol of the blood that was shed for you and me. Let us remember all that Christ did for us. And as we go through these songs, let us most importantly say, God, now that you've done this for me, how can you use us to live for you? Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for who you are. I thank you for all that you gave for us. I thank you, God, that the kingdom of heaven is alive and well and real, God. And all you call us to do is to follow you, and that we will come to realize that in our own lives. We will be able to be lights on a hill so that all those in darkness can see you and see your love for them and come to know you and glorify you, our Father in heaven. So God, as we sit in this place today, speak to us. God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, open us up to who you are and show us how, God, you want us to be a part of your kingdom. How it is that you want to use us to be a part of what you're doing. God, right now I pray that if there is somebody here who for some reason or another has never opened up their heart to you, God, I pray that you would help them right now just to say, okay, God, I take the step into your arms. I ask for your forgiveness. Change me and make me new. Help me to know what it means to be a follower of you. I put my faith in you. I don't know exactly what that means, God, but I take this one step into your arms. And I trust that you'll take me the rest of the way, God. I pray that if there's somebody in this room today who knows they need to take that step, that they would take it right now. Jesus, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are here to meet us today. God, move amongst us. Show us how much you love us. As we worship God, and if there is something more that you want to pray about, our prayer teams will be available as well on the sides. Respond to God as you feel led. Let's listen to him. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.